Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone that's here present today and for anyone that is watching us online. Thank you for being here on Christ the King Sunday. Some announcements that we look at, basket offering for November, first and third Sundays, has gone to the pastor's discretionary fund. If you have any other donations that you would like to benefit the pastor's discretionary fund, that would be welcomed as well, even after those basket offerings. Okay. I'm not used to doing this many announcements because this is usually the biggest crowd I get. So bear with me. All right, so birthdays and celebrations. Jennifer Ginn, Jim Watkins, and Stuart Walmsley. No anniversaries to think of or for this week. Our baptisms, recognition for Tammy Turner, Kara Feeney, and Brian Queen this week. Moving on, Lutheran Men in Mission will meet in the Fellowship Hall at 6:30, and that will be tomorrow night. December 1st, All Church Sunday School, The Heart That Grew Three Sizes, will meet at 9:15 in the Fellowship Hall. And that's the first Sunday of our Advent worship will be at 10:30. The semi-annual congregational meeting will be held immediately following worship. Youth group will meet that same Sunday from 4 to 6 with their Christmas rehearsal at 6 o'clock. And you do have a copy of the proposed budget. If you do not have one, please raise your hand. We'll get an usher to get one to you. We've got several up here in the choir. Church Council has approved this and sent it forward, or approved to send this forward for our vote at our congregational meeting coming up. Moving on, Church Council will meet in the office complex on December 9th. The newly elected members will need to attend that as well. And that will be at 7 p.m. Our Wednesday evening meals for our Advent will begin at 5:30 p.m. and the Advent worship will follow at 6:30, and then choir rehearsal at 7. Backpacks. Remember, if there's anyone that would like to choose a name off or a tag off of the tree, $13 a month, $117 a year will provide a monthly bag of food supplies for, we are doing 50 children at Davis Townsend. So just remember that if you want to earmark, just get one of those tags off there and make your donation. Do we have other announcements? Okay. We do have two prayer shawls, and these are for Amanda Boyles and Nancy Adkins. Okay. Sarah Grace, would you repeat what you said?
Amanda is one of my former coworkers from Baptist, and her grandmother Nancy just got diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer, so just have it in your prayers.
Okay, so this is Amanda, who works with Sarah Grace, and this is for her grandmother, who they just found out has terminal cancer. If there are no other announcements, we'll begin with the prelude.
Thank you.
I did forget a couple of things. Mary's staring me down back there. Our Advent resources are up front on the table. Mary will be down here after the service. We do ask that for any of you that pick up the wreaths, or if you have one of the metal wreaths from last year, please reuse those so we don't have to continue buying more and more. And we have plenty of devotionals up here and the candles in the pack as well. And we'll go ahead and say our prayer for those celebrating birthdays, baptisms, as we are. So please stand as you're able. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if I look awkward up here, I'm having some issues with my neck, so sometimes holding things is a little difficult. Just like now. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one God who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, we confess
our sins.
God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like the children to come forward. Apparently it looks like it's just me and you. One big kid and one little kid. All right. Well, Brantley, I have a question for you. Do you ever wear a hat?
No.
You don't wear hats?
No.
Do you know anybody in your family that might wear a hat every once in a while?
No.
Nobody wears a hat?
No.
Okay. But why do people wear hats? You can sit down. Why do people wear hats? Okay. Well, answer a question for me. The sun's really bright, shining right in your face. Would it be nice to have something to knock some of that sun off if you didn't have sunglasses? Maybe the bill of a hat? I'm going to have to buy you a hat. What do you think? But our parents and grandparents wear different hats every single day, right? They have to be a parent to you, okay? They're a teacher to you. And they love you just the same, right? No matter what you do, good or bad. They may not like what you do, but they still love you. Well, we have this person in our gospel lesson today. His name is Jesus Christ. And we focus with Jesus every Sunday. Jesus wore different types of hats too. And the most important hat that he wore was a crown. But it was a crown of thorns. Do you remember what the crown of thorns symbolized? When did Jesus get that crown of thorns? It's right before he died, right? And he died on that cross. So once he died and he ascended back into heaven, he wore a different hat, a different type. But that crown of thorns was still a crown. But now it's a crown of gold. So he is our king. And what do kings normally do? They rule over their people. But Jesus does it in a kind and gentle way. So every once in a while, when you're wearing a hat, if you go to Burger King and you get a crown, you might think, Jesus wears the best crown of all. All right? All right, you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for being our King.
Thank you for being our King.
The King of all kings.
The King of all kings.
Continue to rule over us. And embrace us all. No matter who we are.
No matter where we come from.
And no matter what we do.
Forgive us our sins.
And bless us.
And bless us.
In your heavenly name.
In your heavenly name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brantley.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Word of God, word of life. Our psalm is Psalm 93. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength.
The Lord has made the world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established.
You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea.
Mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure.
And holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
The New Testament lesson is from Revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the robes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case in him against him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, is everyone going out and got their New Year's Day and New Year's Eve celebration stuff ready? That's what today is for the church. It is the last Sunday of our church year. We begin a new church year with Advent beginning next week. So as we move forward, Happy New Year. Grace and peace to you from our King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Today is called Christ the King Sunday, and it's been recognized by the organized church for about 100 years. And John, in his gospel, likes to ask questions. And his use of these questions that were asked by Jesus or were questioned to Jesus stand out. In our gospel text for Christ the King Sunday, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Note, in John's Gospel, he repeatedly uses the word king to describe Jesus. In fact, when Jesus calls his first disciples, Nathanael, better known to those of us that are older as Bartholomew, makes the initial declaration that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but the King of Israel. And in John 1st chapter, verse 49, Nathanael replies, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus perceives that the people are going to come and take him by force in order to institute him or instate him as the king, he retreats to a quiet mountainside. When Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he is greeted with the title, King of Israel. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate then replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? What have you done?" There once was a member of a congregation who tried to guilt the pastor for not recognizing everything he had done in the church by sending a text message list of his accomplishments after he had not been recognized for donating a large sum of money for a building project. At the end of the long list, being a Lutheran, he confessed that none of these accomplishments would earn him salvation. But he did say that some recognition would be nice. We are a bit broken in many ways as humans, and we're often selfish instead of selfless. In our quest to be recognized, we sometimes ask too much. I'm 100% sure that Jesus recognizes every single one of our accomplishments, good or bad. What have you done? To answer, Jesus could have described a long, long list of accomplishments: turning water into wine at the wedding feast, feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish, healing the blind man, healing the deaf man, healing the woman with the hemorrhage, healing the lepers, and teaching thousands in the fields and the synagogues, walking on water and healing with dirt and spit. Jesus could go on and on and on about his accomplishments, including us. We are part of his accomplishments. What have you done? If you were asked that question today, how would you reply? When visiting with a person that may not have much time left with us in this life, pastors often ask questions, and they encourage the person to share their story. Or when visiting with a family preparing for a loved one's funeral, pastors encourage them to reminisce, to share stories as they give thanks for good memories that often will be a part of the pastor's funeral sermon. What have you done? For me, I like to remember the wonderful folks in this congregation that helped build the foundation of my faith here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Sunday school, junior choir, youth group, confirmation, church council, and everything else, we continue to share the good news. My journey as a lay preacher is part of my answer to that question, and it's still not enough. People love to tell stories about how they met their spouse and the birth of their children. These are the most meaningful stories about our relationships with one another, not about how much money we made, or how big our house is, or the car we drive, or how much we accomplish. In the end, we remember and give thanks for those whom we have loved and to those who have loved us. Again, what have you done? In verse 36 of our gospel today, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." In this world today, people fight to keep their leaders in power, whether legal or not. Jesus' followers would have fought to keep him from being arrested, but Jesus would not allow them to fight, because as Jesus says three times in verse 36, his kingdom is not from this world. So what is Jesus' kingdom? Jesus' kingdom is the fulfillment of this world. Jesus' kingdom is this world recreated, but sinless and perfect and eternal. Jesus' kingdom is loving one another perfectly and forever. Jesus' kingdom is the wedding feast without end. Jesus' kingdom is the eternal feeling of giving a hug and a kiss to your children or your grandchildren when you haven't seen them for a long time. Jesus' kingdom is to worship and to sing with Jesus in the pews, smiling and welcoming every person of faith, no matter their stature in the community, their faults, or their burdens that they carry with them every day. Jesus' kingdom is definitely not from this world. If Jesus chose not to go to the cross, there would be no forgiveness and no resurrection. If we choose not to follow Jesus to the cross and not to live our lives of self-sacrifice for the needs of our loved ones, then there's no forgiveness and no resurrection. We are only and always saved by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther shared how God's kingdom comes to us. He tells us in the Large Catechism that God's kingdom comes to us in two ways. First, it comes here in time through the word and faith. And second, in eternity, it comes through the final revelation. Now we ask for both of these things, that it may come to those who are not yet in it, and that by daily growth here and in eternal life hereafter, it may come to us who have attained it. So God's kingdom comes to us in these two ways. One way happens now, when we receive God's kingdom through the word and faith. The other happens in eternity, when it comes in the final revelation. Luther teaches us that when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying that it will come in both of these ways. We're praying that God's kingdom would come to our world now, through the word and faith, and we are praying that God's kingdom would come to us in its fullness through the second coming of Christ our King. A baptism, a confirmation, or a wedding celebration is a foretaste of the feast to come. They are parts of our faith relationship that teaches us about the self-sacrificial love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, as forgiven sinners, as lovers of one another, we follow Jesus to the cross and eventually to Easter morning, knowing as he knew that his kingdom was not of this world. In the meantime, though, we serve, we forgive, we love, and we hope. We mess up, and we live together, and we live knowing the truth. In verse 37, Pilate asks him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May the truth of God through Christ Jesus and the promise of his kingdom move us forward in helping bring others into his kingdom by serving, by sharing, by giving, and loving others as he loves us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. Revive our congregations, synods, and national church body to reflect the love, justice, and kinship of your kingdom. Raise up diverse leaders who teach and serve your people. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nourish parched lands and bring relief to flooded places. Protect wildlife habitats and endangered species, that the chorus of creation's praise resounds with joy. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Grant wisdom to the leaders who govern, legislate, and deliberate on our behalf. Advance your nonviolent reign of justice-seeking love through their work. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew your people, O God. Protect those in our communities who are vulnerable or ill, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Keith, Lori, Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Watch over and uphold them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remind us of your enduring love in all seasons. Guide the planning efforts of worship leaders and volunteers who usher our congregation into a meaningful Advent. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
In your eternal presence, the saints sing of your majesty. Join our voices with theirs in praise to the one who loves us and frees us from sin. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Share a sign of that peace with each other. Peace.
Nearing the end of our song, we would like for you to join in us in singing, Come Thou Almighty King.
Thank you.
And thanks to you, holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness: forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to the needy world.
peace, sharing good news.